This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy, and it is great to be with you again this week on 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, and of course, 107.5 Alive. We have two guests this week. Two guests this week, Philadelphia Eagles safety Rodney McLeod and former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman Larry Gagne are going to join us. Rodney does a ton of work in the community. He's got this initiative for Election Day, nonpartisan initiative, where he's actually, they got a double-decker bus, a couple of them, and they're going to go out. And what he said is, we want to turn Election Day into a party atmosphere. And they're going to go out. They got DJs. He's going to have teammates. And they're going to go out through the cities, encourage people to go vote. Some communities, they're going to be bringing people to the polls. They're bringing food to poll workers. So you'll get to hear all about that. But he's also, he does a lot of things as far as in the community giving back. And he said being a man of God inspires him. And he talks about understanding his role, understanding that he has a platform for a reason. And he uses it to give back, and he uses it to help young kids get more opportunities and be around positive role models. And I think all of that is, it comes back to finding our purpose,
That's right? True.
You find your purpose in life. You find what your calling is. And for him, as he says, you know, I've been placed here on this earth for a reason. And he said, you'll hear this conversation. He'll say, wearing, you know, this helmet and being given this platform, and it's all for a reason. I'm sitting in this seat right now, in this season, for a reason. And I think all of us, really, we go through that in life. And I guess when you're young, we certainly were trying to figure out what our purpose is.
Yes.
And if you are blessed enough to be able to know what your calling is early at a young age,
yeah.
And I'm not just talking about what I want to major in college, because I think we all go through various stages of life where you're 8 years old, you want to do something, you're 15 years old.
Yeah, I can tell you my life story. I didn't go.
18 years old, you want to do something. I changed majors.
Yeah.
What was the first, do you remember the first thing you wanted to do? Like the first thing you ever wanted to be?
No, I always wanted to study psychology and be a psychiatrist. That's always.
Seriously?
Yes, actually.
I'm learning something about you.
Yeah.
I didn't know
what
that.
Little did I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still, I went to college and worked in the field for a little bit that I'm like, I don't know. I'm not finding myself in this. Like, I like it. I like the study of it, but I guess it's the practice that got me.
Well, yeah. At least you knew at some point what you wanted to do. And of course your life has changed and you've gone into so many different things and TV and children and now part of this show. And for me, my calling has consistently been something in sports, right? Mm-hmm. I had always, at first I wanted to play, get to college, and I got to college and realized as a Division III baseball player, I wasn't going to make it to the major leagues. And now what else can I do? And at that time I thought like, oh wow, this is pretty cool. You can make a living writing and talking about sports. And I pursued that wholeheartedly. And I had just an incredible amount of great fortune and been blessed to be in the position that I am, that I'm in at the AP and at 97.5 The Fanatic and doing different things. But it took a few years ago, and that's how this show materialized, where I really found what my calling was, my purpose was. And it wasn't just about, and I talk about this, it wasn't just about writing and talking about sports. It wasn't just about that. It was more about, for me, my passion had become spreading the gospel, sharing what Jesus had done in my life. And to me, that became my purpose. And it was to combine my passion for sports and my love for sharing Christ's message. And that's how we started Faith on the Field Show. But there's a Bible verse that I want to bring up, Proverbs 20, verse 5, and it says, the purpose of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty strong verse, and when you think about the purpose being, you know, in your heart, your purpose is are deep water. You think about deep water.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of deep water because I can't swim.
Yeah. But who isn't? You know, everybody is. Yeah,
you
technically.
You think about how deep the water is and how far it goes and how your purpose and your reach can be so great and your reach can be so far and your potential can be so vast. And then when you have that insight, when you have that desire to draw it out, to bring it out, to bring out your calling, to bring out your purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, no matter what field we're in, mm-hmm. or no matter where we are, what stage in our life that we're in, whether you're a youngster in school, whether you're on the verge of graduating school, finishing school, getting ready for the next step in your career, no matter where you are, as we consistently seek to find our purpose, one thing we have to do is pray on it. Pray about it. Ask God, hey, what are you calling me to do? Because I think it's always bigger than what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's all our purpose is always bigger than our job. It's always bigger than our profession. It's always bigger and greater than our immediate line of vision. See, I think sometimes we got the glasses on and we're focused on the day and I want to get through school or I want to get through work or I want to get through this day of my life and we don't take into account, but our purpose is bigger than that. Our purpose is bigger than just making money or getting good grades, or our purpose is bigger than anything that we're focused on that day. And when we're believers, our purpose is so much more greater.
I think this was like lately that I feel like I had this profound thing or profound thought where I just questioned to myself, if I became this unrealistic, like just something so huge, right? Like I became this one person that is so huge and got everything I wanted, did everything I wanted, this like basically the end goal in mind, right? And if you get yourself to the end goal, right, in your head, you visualize that person, who that person is, you will understand that purpose is not doing but being. It's not doing something, it's being something.
So good.
Yeah, so if you because if you visualize yourself being this and that, doing this and that, and then you think to yourself, that's all great and fabulous. And then you think to yourself, well, how am I feeling? How am I feeling in that moment right now when I'm visualizing? You will feel happy. You will feel success. You will feel great in everything. But are you fulfilled? Mm. Right? So it's more like to get to that person or to be that person, it's all working on yourself. And any successful person would tell you this, that they attained so much, that they did so much, but felt empty. And it's the point where they became one pulling someone up. Like if they're pulling someone else up, they're feeling fulfillment. Mm. Or two, they're helping someone else. Or three, or they're sharing their knowledge with someone else. That's when they felt the most purpose. And it's not because they're millionaires or bazillionaires. They're just because they're pulling someone up or they're helping someone get through something or they're inspiring people. That is purpose. And in reality, that is everybody's purpose. It's just that we get through to that through different things or through different careers, through different, things that we're doing, businesses or whatever, or shows or anything. You just, it's a vehicle. Everything you do, you're doing it in a vehicle to get there. Mm-hmm. But technically what you're working on is yourself the entire time. You're working on you entire time.
I think we're constantly growing, right? We're constantly evolving.
Right, and to get to that person that's like, oh, this awesome human being that's going to do this and that, and it's not about doing anything. It's about being that person that inspires others, that inspires people to do their best or get them through a bad day or get them through a breakup or get them through heartache or a job loss. You're getting them through something. So when you are doing something great, help someone else do great. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling great that day, help someone else feel great that day. That is the ultimate purpose.
I love what you were talking about there, and it made me think of something when you're talking about doing versus being.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking we have to do enough to earn God's love, or we have to do enough to earn salvation. Mm-hmm. But God isn't concerned about the acts the doing, the work, right? He's concerned about the being. Who are we? What are we feeling?
Right.
What do we believe in? Yeah. Have we fully committed to him? Have we fully surrendered to him? See, we can, and this goes into the whole, well, you can't earn your way into heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we are saved by grace. We are not saved by works.
Right.
So if we're always focused on doing, 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 and we take our eyes off being and living,
or becoming,
we might lose our sense of purpose.
Right.
And I think our sense of purpose should never be restricted to what our accomplishments are, or what kind of work that we do, or what kind of person that we aspire to be in the future.
Yeah.
See, all of that, all of those things are great. Nobody ever said, hey, it's not, you don't want, I don't want to tell people to sit there and just go sit on a couch, watch TV, and don't do anything. Don't have aspirations, don't have dreams, don't have goals. God has blessed each and every one of us with the different skill set, with different talents, and we should always use them and always work as if we're glorifying the Lord. But we have to be careful that as we're doing it, as we're living that, as we're caught up in the busyness of daily activity, not to lose sight of, well, what is our purpose? And it comes back to, well, if we're believers, what is our purpose?
Right.
Our purpose should be to share and talk about the work that, one, the Lord has done in our life, and what we think or how we feel we can potentially help someone else, how we can share the gospel, how we can share our thoughts, our dreams, our visions, but really also how can we talk about how we can help someone else see their way to get to the Lord.
Absolutely. It's all, it boils down to that. It just, who are you becoming every day? And God cares about our hearts more than what we're doing. He doesn't care about our bank account. He doesn't care what we're doing on a daily basis. He cares, technically cares.
He cares about every aspect of our life.
Yeah. But he doesn't care as in, like, he doesn't have a grade point or a grade average. Today you're a 90% or tomorrow you're 100. It's not about that. It's about,
you're not going to get to heaven and there's a check.
No, there's
I honestly
a checklist.
Thought at one point in my life I thought that you get to heaven and you get,
no, there is no checklist whatsoever, but there is. Every day he wants your heart to be in a specific posture and saying, first, I can't do anything without you, and two, I won't do everything with you, and three, I want whatever it is that you want from me, Lord. Whatever it is, whatever your will is, that's what I want to do every day. And I pray every day that I do it from that posture and from that perspective every day. Because when you lose that perspective, then you're doing everything from a worldly perspective, and it all becomes about money and fame and being doing great things and being all flashy and all that. But when you do it from perspective of, I want to do it because God called me to it, and I want to be that person that grows and inspire people and call people in and show them the love of God and show them what Christ have done for me, that perspective changes everything. And it helps, everything becomes better and just more fulfilling every single day.
I think sometimes you can boil it down to, when you finish your day, when you complete your day, when you're in your quiet time with the Lord, and I would hope that I try to have quiet time in the morning, quiet time at night, quiet time in the middle of the day when I'm busy. There's all kinds of quiet time. But at the end of each day, I like to ask myself, and I don't do a great job of this every day, but I like to ask myself, did I fulfill my purpose today?
Yeah.
What did I say? What did I do? How did I interact with others? How did I try to be, and I love the term that you use all the time, is it an ambassador for the Lord?
Yeah.
And if I didn't do it today, I got to do more tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I got to think about that, because for me, ultimately, my purpose isn't tied into, I love my job. I love being able to talk sports. I love being able to go to games, write about them, relationships with different people in sports. It's great. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful career, and I've been blessed with it. But there's more to it. There's more to it, and it's finding how I can use that platform to bring people into the kingdom, which is such an incredible sense of purpose. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Rodney McLeod. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every show since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup. An incredible lineup of guests. So you can listen anytime at your convenience. You can choose by guest. You can choose by topic. However you want to do it. Check us out on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. We'll send you our episodes right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Can you believe there was a fake or something at some point?
Yeah,
that's
I
why
don't
I had
know
to go.
Who got your name? That's kind of strange.
I had to go Real Rob Motti at some point
you
on Instagram.
Yeah, report that or something.
I did. I think a long time. It's been a while. You're on Remy Motti on everything.
On
it's
everything.
Just flat out Remy Motti everywhere. Right. And you can go to my YouTube channel, listen to my recent messages, any of them. It's they're all up there. Check those out. We'll also let you know if we're going to be doing any appearances, events, or whatever. Hopefully soon at some point when COVID is...
Hoping.
It's been a while since we used that word on this show. And
I don't like that word.
I'd like to keep it that way. We love your messages, so keep sending us messages. And I really enjoy trying to pick out one a week and just reading one. And this one's from Vinay. She said, I've been listening to you guys at 5 a.m. on my way to work on Sundays. I got saved in 2016 and now work as a director of multimedia at a church. Keep sharing the gospel in any way anyone can relate to. And thank you for being vulnerable. We love it, and I love sharing it. So, Vinay, thank you so much. And I know you
really
responded to her, right?
It was such a sweet message. And I just love these messages. They make me feel encouraged.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, all right, this is cool. Like, it's encouraging someone out there. That is so awesome. I love it.
I love it's having to try awesome. And pick and choose which ones to read. So
yeah,
keep making
really
it tough for me. Keep sending those good ones in there.
Yeah,
they're
keep
awesome.
Sending them. We read them all, by the way.
Yes, we do. We do read them all, even if we don't respond.
Yeah.
And we try to. We try to.
We really do.
I know we try to. Rodney McLeod is in his ninth season in the NFL, fifth with the Eagles after four seasons with the Rams. He went from undrafted rookie out of Virginia in 2012 to starting every game that he has played since the 2013 season.
that's 104 games. Obviously, every game that he's played means if he was injured, then he didn't play and he didn't start. So he's been a starter every game since 2013. He had that 1 year, 2018, when he had a season-ending injury, knee injury in week four. He's been a key member of Philadelphia secondary, a team leader helping lead the fight also for racial justice and equality. I mentioned what Rodney and his wife Erica are doing with their Change Our Future Foundation and their nonpartisan My Voice, My Vote initiative. You're going to hear about that and much more right now with Rodney McLeod.
Rodney, you guys came back to win a game you had to have against the Giants, and you almost beat the Ravens or rallied to tie them last Sunday. What is it about this team that you guys, you have all these injuries, yet you're so resilient, especially in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, man, I think you said it best. It's a resilient group. There's no quit in us. And honestly, we fight to the very end. And you've seen that on countless occasions this season. And, you know, we've been a couple plays away from having a, you know, a winning season. But unfortunately, you know, the record, it is what it is. But it was good just to come away with the win last night. It took a complete team effort. We didn't play well collectively as one, I would say, for 60 minutes, but we did enough. There were times and spurts where, you know, the defense held up, and there were times obviously in that fourth quarter where we score, I think, 12 consecutive points to win the game. And Carson and, you know, guys like Boston Scott, Rich Rogers, Greg Ward, Fogum, Hightower, all those guys step up and contribute. And of course, special teams, they continue to do their part, and it's good. Everything is starting to come together. Things that we preach and talk about. But most importantly, it was good to walk away with a win versus a division opponent and put us in first place right now.
You mentioned the record, and obviously you don't want to be at 2-4-1 right now, but where you are in this division, it's yours to take. You control your own destiny. Does it really matter what division records are or what your overall records are? As long as you have an opportunity to win a division, get a home playoff game in January, anything can happen.
That's the goal when we set out is to win a division. We understand what that entails. That gives us a ticket into the playoffs and gives us an opportunity to reach the ultimate goal, which is a world championship. And so we just have to continue to do our part. These next 2 weeks are very critical for, you know, our goals in the division. We have the Cowboys coming in Sunday night. And then we play the Giants again. So we have to make sure we prepare well. It's going to take everything once again. We understand how these division games go. It's a fight to the end, and it's all about heart. Who wants it more? And we have to continue to display that, and I'm confident in our team that we will win this division when it's all said and done.
Now that you did win that game against the Giants, you could probably look back at this with a different perspective, but what was your view on Daniel Jones running free to the end zone? Nobody ahead of him, 88-yard touchdown. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be poking fun at him on social media and already have. What was your view on that when he trips at the 8-yard line?
Yeah, I mean, I saw him break loose, and I was praying someone tracked him down, and I didn't really see anyone near him for some time until someone got into, you know, the pitcher, and I started to see him stumble, and I said, man, we have an opportunity, we have a chance. I thought, you know, Jalen possibly was going to get the ball out, and that was going to be another turnover for us. But hey, we got him down, and you know, now we give ourselves a chance to get off the field with a turnover or make him kick a field goal. Unfortunately, I think it was a bad call by the ref. We stopped him on third down, gets them first and goal on the one, and they score shortly after. But, yeah, you look back on that play now, you laugh about it. I'm sure, his teammates, you know, gave him the blues about it as well. I've seen some comments. This is how 2020 is going for us, you know. But, yeah, man, hate to see it, but it gave us an opportunity to play red zone defense.
You guys have a few extra days off before you get Dallas. So, and then you also have a bye before you play the Giants. You're banged up. guys going down, how much do you need this extra time off, and how are you guys going to use it? Obviously, you get some time off, and is it get away and sit at home in the tub or whatever you can do to just relax and try your best to get as healthy as possible?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. It's reset the mind, step away a little bit because, you know, we played a lot of ball in the past, 10 days, you know, coming off a tough loss with the Ravens. And now we walk away with a victory. So I think it gives us time to reset. It gives us time to heal our wounds that we have. You know, take advantage of this time to rest, recover. And also we get an early start on Dallas, understanding, like I said, the magnitude of this game, what this means for our season and our team. We have to play at our best. That's what it will take for us to win this game. They won't take us lightly, regardless of their injuries. We're in the same situation. So, we have to prepare well, and then we get some guys back. We heal up some wounds, man, and we go out there and play how we should.
Rodney, you and your wife, Erica, have a My Voice, My Vote initiative through your Change Our Future Foundation. You're going to be doing, I know, a ton to encourage people to get out there and vote. Tell me why this initiative is so important to you and your wife.
My Voice, My Vote was something that we created and thought was important during this time of voting. You know, it's a very important election. We wanted to be advocates for, you know, voter education, voter awareness, making sure that people are getting to the polls. And we've taken on that role our foundation has. I think it first started with my radio show that I have every Tuesday and highlighting the purpose of voting, understanding you need to exercise your right to vote and how everyone vote matters and it counts. And so we've talked about it on countless occasions. We've made sure people are informed about important dates, deadlines, understanding that now there are various forms in how you can vote this year due to COVID. You can go to your local polling sites. You can do mail-in ballots. But what's most important is that you have to be registered to vote. And we started that as well during Everybody Eats, which we do every single month, bringing 40,000 pounds of food. But for, you know, the food insecurities. But outside of that, we made sure that there was voter registration seats there for people to sign up just in case. So there are new laws set up, obviously, during this election. I think there's naked ballots and a policy that's been set out by the state of Pennsylvania, pretty much saying if you don't put your ballot in a secrecy envelope that they require you to do, that your vote will be void. And so it's important that people understand all of these laws that are in place, where their polling sites are, deadlines. And then on top of that, we have decided that there has been a disparity in North Philly. The turnout hasn't been very well in that particular area when it comes to voting in comparison to the amount of people who are actually registered to vote. So what we decided to do is on election day, be able to provide some form of transportation for a lot of these individuals within that community, getting them there to the polls, you know, providing that access for them who may not have it and who may be in need. And then we plan to include some double decker buses. We want to make voting popular. We want to make voting cool. And so we've decided to turn it into this pep rally and encouraging voters. All the voter participation. And so we're going from various sites out throughout the city, West Philly, North Philly, South Philly, touching it as much as we can, bringing a DJ around, tying in city officials, other Eagles players like myself, other influencers to kind of rally behind, man, and support everyone who has taken the time to go out and vote. And then we also want to show a little love to the poll workers for the amazing work and commitment that they're doing. They're volunteers, and without them, none of this would be possible. So we've decided to support some small businesses in the local area and be able to hand out meals and beverages, coffee and tea to make the time a little more lighthearted and go by a little easier for them.
You mentioned the double-decker bus. Where did you get that idea? Are you and your wife going to be on it? Are you going to be part of, you know, that free shuttle service? I'm sure people would like to go down out there if they have an opportunity to see you.
Yeah. So it actually was my wife's idea. I cannot take credit for it. She came up with the brilliant idea that it would be good to have some sort of double-decker and have the community be able to see us, as well as other influencers, some of my teammates, and just have some interaction with the with the community while we touch these sites. You know, play some games, do some interview questions, play some music, make it upbeat, kind of change the idea around voting. And like I said, create some energy and excitement to get people to these polls. So that was the whole thought process behind it. We'll probably spend roughly 15 to 30 minutes at each polling site along our route. I think we're planning on 6 locations. We'll be probably pushing that out this week so everyone's aware where we will be. And it'll be a fun day, man. I'm excited. And most importantly, I just want to see a great turnout by the city of Philadelphia.
Rodney, how do you feel about the NFL's social justice initiatives, the job that they're doing? Is there more that you would like them to see get done?
The league has taken steps in the right direction. I think, you know, there is more that can be done. And I think, you know, there will be more to do. But like I said, I am seeing improvement and they're starting to move the needle. So I'm hoping that we continue this push moving forward because it is a continuing fight for justice and equality. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in one season. So we will have to continue to make this this commitment, not only from the NFL, but from us players, owners, coaches, everyone that's involved in the league, all hands on deck to get this, to make change happen.
Helping to build strong families and communities. I know that's the mission for your foundation. Rodney, how important is that to emphasize, especially in inner cities, and let young men and women grow up with strong parental influence so they're not going out somewhere else looking for that kind of leadership, that it should start with a strong family?
Man, that it's so true. You know, your foundation, man, kind of propels you and starts your journey. And if you have, you know, positive role models surrounding you, the likelihood, you know, your success rate rises. And that's what we want to implement with Change Our Future. Those are the individuals that we are creating. We're creating leaders of tomorrow, and we're empowering the youth to understand that your voice is powerful. You are the future. And so we want to continue to, you know, be those positive role models they can lean on, be those examples, be that support system, but understanding that it does start, you know, with your home, with a brother, with a sister, with a friend. So encouraging everyone, man, just to, you know, grab someone and help, you know, change someone's life and make it better.
Rodney, how much does your faith inspire you with all that you do, giving back, getting out there in the community, trying to rally around people, get people to build strong families, supporting the volunteers and others with all of the food that you guys donate? How much is that inspired by your faith?
A lot. And I think a lot just has to do with how I was raised. And like you said, my faith being a man of God and things that you see in the Bible and what God, what he preaches and what he says and understanding my role. And I think a lot of it just stems from my heart, man. It comes from a very genuine place, understanding that I've been placed on this earth for a reason, in this seat, wearing this helmet with this platform for a reason, and just taking advantage of it, and whatever is near and dear on my heart, just giving it everything that I have. First and foremost, that's out on the field, but outside of that, that's, you know, helping a kid, giving them opportunities and resources that they deserve, because I'm aware of what my childhood was like, and the abilities and opportunities that I was afforded, and that allowed me to be successful. And so I'm want to do the same in return, and like I said, help some kids out along the way.
Rodney, I always see you with these cool t-shirts, and you got really nice, cool t-shirt designs. Is that something that you yourself are coming up with? Are they available? Can people purchase those? Is there anything along those lines, money going to somewhere, charity or anything like that?
The shirt that I have on today, this was supporting actually a Black-owned brand back in Washington, D.C. called Dreams of Triumph. I made a purchase for this shirt, so I can't claim it. But, you know, my actual clothing store, Bagger House, we had some state of emergency T-shirts going out surrounding education. And we actually donated 50% of the proceeds back to Digital Pioneers Academy School in Washington, D.C. Those T-shirts are still available today. You can go to bohusa.com to make a purchase. And yeah, that's kind of the story behind that. But yeah, the shirts continue, man. There's like, I have an endless amount, all different messaging, and just got to keep it going.
In this city and anywhere, really, the coach, the quarterback, they get too much credit. They get too much blame. What have you seen out of Doug's leadership that you guys always seem to rise up to adversity, whether it was in 17 when you won the Super Bowl and lost Carson and JP and Darren Sproles and Jordan Hicks, Chris Maragos in the list, and then coming back in 18 and 19, backs against the wall down the stretch. What is it about his leadership that you guys can rally around him?
Man, I just think, you know, for Doug, he understands us. He understands what we go through as players. He played this game, and I think, you know, that's why players have a great deal of respect for him. It's a give and take relationship. And what I love most about him is you stay the same. We're consistent throughout. His messaging is always the same. And I think just as an organization, man, we make no excuses. We hold everyone to the same level of standard, regardless coming in. Start on the depth chart or you're the fourth string guy, it doesn't matter. Everyone prepares as if they're a starter. And I think when their time is called, you see guys, you know, rise to the occasion. And you got to credit, you know, leaders on the team, the culture that we built here. It's kind of a no blink mentality, no quit. And that's the city of Philadelphia, man. It's a blue collar, you know, gritty, just get down, get your hands dirty, whatever it takes type of mentality. And that's what it is. It doesn't have to be pretty. Everybody, you know, I know a lot of people want us to win the game 31-3. But, you know, we just take them for what it is, man. A win is a win. I'll take 22-21. I'll take 19-20, 13-12-7 in the playoff game versus Atlanta Falcons comes down to, you know, last play of the game. We just get it done and we're going to find a way. And that's, like I said, that's credit to the culture we built here as leaders. And that's credit to Doug's messaging, just being consistent, us trusting in him and respecting him, and guys just being prepared at all times for when their name is called.
From the perspective of a safety, how tough is it to defend a quarterback like Carson, who never gives up, man? He never gives up on a play. And sometimes that means he's going to take a risk, but the reward could be greater. How tough is it when you have to face guys like that? You see him in practice, but I'm sure you face quarterbacks like that sometimes who never want to give up a play.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, at any moment, man, he can make the big play. He can do it with his legs. He can do it with his arm. Carson's is as talented as the best of them. And when you have a quarterback like that, you have to be very disciplined in the back end, in the way that you approach the game. And so he puts a lot of challenges, you know, on you as a defender. And glad to have him as my quarterback, man. And I'm hoping to see more of that. That's when he's at his best, when he's able to create. And there are times where I say, man, what? Don't throw it. And I think I made a comment. I think it was San Fran game. I'm sitting right there next to, I think, some offensive guys. I'm like, no, don't throw it. And he throws it across the field. Dude makes a crazy catch. And I said, don't listen to me. Hey, just do your thing, man. But I trust in him. I trust in him, man. I believe in 11. And I know he's received a lot of criticism this season, in his short season so far. But you're starting to see the Carson that we all know. And he's going to continue to play that way and get us to where we need to get to.
Well, Rodney, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time. My voice, my vote, that's the initiative. And you guys are going to be out there election day and all up until then, getting people encouraged to go out there and vote. So really appreciate it. Great stuff that you're doing.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. It's going to be a great day on November 3rd. I'm excited about it and what we're going to be able to do for this city.
You guys will be holding on to first place by then.
Absolutely. I plan on it.
There you go. Thanks, Rodney. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Thank you.
That was Philadelphia Eagles safety Rodney McLeod. Up next, you're going to hear a special interview, a really incredible testimony from former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman Larry Gagne. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hi, this is Harold Carmichael, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show. God bless you.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Mahdi with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Please check them all out. They're awesome, wonderful people, not just great sponsors as well. I also want to tell you about Karen. Karen Athletics has a really cool event coming up as part of their 2020 running series. And the first race is the Veterans Day 5K. It takes place on Saturday, November 7 at 9:30 a.m. at Core Creek Park. And you can check that out, learn more about it at karen.edu.
/Veterans Day 5K. Again, it's Cairn Athletics. Then they have a really cool running series, and it's a Veterans Day 5K. So check that out. I know Doug is going to be part of it, Doug Horton. He's going to go out there and take part in that. So check that out for sure. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We've got various packages where you can be involved in the radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive. You could be part of all three or one or two. You could be part of the podcast, the social media. We post video clips of our interviews. So there's a ton of different ways that you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on Faith on the Field Show. com. Our next guest, Larry Gagne, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers four seasons from 1966 to 69 before a car accident nearly killed him and ended up really ending his career. He came back 2 years later in 1972, and he started one game for KC that year. The Steelers, of course, went on to win four Super Bowls in the 70s. Larry became an artist and did various other things before that. He does amazing work. You could check it out on LarryGagne.com. I spoke to him about the artwork that he does, which highlights the importance of racial and social justice. And I found out during that conversation that he has an incredible testimony. So I want you to hear it. So here's Larry Gagne.
Larry, I want to talk some football. You played four seasons with the Steelers in the 60s, and that was a decade before the Steel Curtain dynasty. But Chuck Knoll was in his first season as the coach in 1969, which was your last year with the team, and you guys went 1-13. Did you see anything in Chuck then that showed you that this was going to be a guy who was going to build the team of the 70s?
Not really, apparently so. A matter of fact, I think, as I recall, I avoid some concern, and that concern, I think, attributed to a few other things, caused my release after I returned from my automobile accident and 2 weeks of camp after sitting out a year. But I saw that they had, certainly with the acquisition of Joe Green and L.C. Greenwood and Ernie Fats Holmes, they certainly had a substantial defense, which they've always had. But it's probably not till Terry Bradshaw came on the scene in 70 with several significant trades and receivers and running back Michael Harris. Things really began to gel, but by that time, I was already exited.
You mentioned that accident, which you survived. It almost killed you 50 years ago. To go through that at age 26 and end up being here 50 years later and surviving through it, what was that experience for you like? And obviously, it ended or contributed to the end of your career, but were you able to take any positives out of that?
Absolutely. I, like so many other of my peer ball players, I was drinking a lot. There's no question about it. And Steelers were known for that. And so in the off, well, in season two, but I mean, it was an all-season accident down in Daytona Beach area. I was drinking heavily, although the other people that pulled out in front of me were cited for failure to yield right away. But of course, I was speeding. But by the time I hit him, I was going at the speed limit because I was braking. But all that brought me to my knees, Rob. Not immediately, but eventually. And after starting for 4 years, I didn't pass the physical. When I went back, they took my broken left, dislocated left hip. They took a chip out of the femur bone head, and I convalesced for 2 months and reported to training camp, but they didn't pass me. So I sat out, convalesced for a year. And oddly enough, same year that Rocky Blyer was convalescent from his Vietnam injury, he and I actually shared an apartment together in that offseason. And then I reported back to camp, and they traded me to the Giants. And I think they did because I think they saw the handwriting on the wall. A broken hip is something that you overcome and play football with, at least not any great longevity to it, as Bo Jackson found out also. So anyway, I'm saying all that because things didn't work out for me that second year. And oddly enough, I got on my fifth year with Kansas City, which was minimum years for eligibility then. And but all that brought me to my knees, metaphorically. historically speaking, and it caused me to seek some absolutes in my life that I never had sought before. Thought about them, but never had time for them. And those absolutes were religiously oriented. They ended up being, of course, Jesus Christ, and I took him on in baptism. And,
amen.
And, many decades ago, and been traveling that road ever since.
Amazing.
So I'm summing up everything to say that all this. Yeah, guy played behind me 4 years. Sam Davis went to 2 Super Bowls. Couldn't beat me out. He jumped in there, went to the Super Bowl. And I missed out on a lot that I probably could have certainly had. But all that is worth it if it took me all that to come to Jesus Christ.
That's an incredible testimony. I've always said that our test becomes a testimony. And when you survive something like that, that's incredible. That's greater than football. That's greater than anything else that you can do when you come to that realization and then work on sharing that and sharing that message, and more people can hear that. That's all. Tell me this. When did you realize, it was in college, wasn't it, that you had this artistic skill?
I knew I had artistic skill in the fourth grade.
Wow.
My fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Stokely, would always call upon me to do any of the festive chalk drawings on the board, or if you got to do any diagrams and general science and stuff. I always had the facility to copy something, you know, something other, which doesn't make you an artist, but it does help you seeing things in particular. So I knew early on I had that talent, but I never developed it. I took one art course in high school, but everything else was secondary to the athleticism, playing 3 sports and all that. Not till I got in college, and I was, believe it or not, an engineering major, and found out the handwriting on the wall early on that I really didn't have the wherewithal to pull that off. Matter of fact, I couldn't even balance equations in chemistry in high school. So anyway, I dropped out a semester, took a bunch of aptitude tests, and it led me to the artistic field. I got back in advertising, design, commercial art in college, and did well, and was happy I did that. And through taking those commercial art courses, in my first beginning painting course, I found out, whoa, that's my hot button. That really excites me.
The artwork is quite impressive. I was taking a look at it on your website, and I really enjoyed this conversation, and I especially love you sharing what you were able to overcome through the most difficult of times, because that's a message that I always try and share with people. And I think that's the greatest thing that we can get out there and get across. So thank you so much, sir.
You have a great day, and thank you for interviewing me. Appreciate it.
You too.
God bless.
That was Larry Gagne. I want to thank him and Rodney McLeod for being guests on the show. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work for Faith on the Field. Thank you to 97.5, The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.